All right, welcome back to MythBusters, up to myth number 70. I see no sponsors for today's learning, so we will get right to it. Okay, so the question is, it's not a Hanukkah question per se, but inspired by Hanukkah, by a Hanukkah gift for me, and that would be an espresso. We got it for ourselves. An espresso machine. I've been getting more spoiled in my coffee drinking of late. I used to be all in on instant, and now I'm like kind of getting over that. So we got an espresso machine. Do you have to tovel it? How do you tovel it? What are you supposed to do with an electric appliance that might get broken in the process of tevila? And again, it's only necessary if there's like a metal or glass part that's touching the food. If it's all plastic, then you're in the clear. You got nothing to worry about. But if there is some form of metal or glass touching the food, and you purchase it from a non-Jew, of course, it was made by a non-Jew. If you bought it from a non-Jew, that has a mitzvah of tevilas kelim. You need to be tovel that before you use it. So what are you supposed to do with these items that might break? If it's like a toaster oven that is electric, but you can remove the grates, or like one of these grills that you can just remove the grates, so there's nothing to talk about. Just take the grates out and be tovel them and put them back in. But, you know, a Keurig, it's all one entity. So what are you supposed to do? Hot water, an electric hot water urn, a Belgian waffle maker, all these things, you know, it's a problem because you can't separate it. So how do you tovel it? Okay, so I'll break it down into three different approaches. And it's going to take two videos, so but I'll send them both out today, back to back. Okay, so approach number one, I'll call the simple approach. Simple in that, like, they're just saying, like, don't overthink it, A or B, two extremes. So extreme number one within the simple approach is Rav Binyamin Force, I'm sure others as well, but Rav Binyamin Force, he's a big posik, Mechaber Svarim, Halacha Svarim, so he says, just don't get the kli. If it's not going to work, if you can't tovel a Keurig because it's going to break, all right, don't have a Keurig in your house. One of my friends, when they first got married, I remember his wife called up Rav Binyamin Force. I don't know if he still has it, but he used to have a kollel and like a hotline number that you could call up with halachic shilas. Feels like a little bit of an outdated system these days, but it used to exist. And she called up and she was describing a Belgian waffle maker and asking, you know, it's going to break if you tovel it. And the response she got was, okay, that's not a kli that should be in a Jewish home then. So that's one approach. A very intense approach, just if you can't do it, you can't do it. The opposite extreme within this, keeping it simple, is Rav Belsky, again, I'm sure among others, but he's quoted in the, I know among others, I've seen others, but we'll quote Rav Belsky, he's quoted on the Chafke website, and he says, just be tovel it, okay, put it in, it's gonna, you let it sit for a few days, maybe you know, you blow dry it, you put in some rice, whatever the trick is, it'll dry off, it'll work, you'll be good. I don't know, the more intense these things get, the more like computerized, it almost feels like dropping your phone into a mikvah, even though my phone has survived water damage. But I definitely am not going to vouch for it. That I don't know for sure, that I've heard mixed messages, so don't go do it and sue me and make me replace your Keurig. But those are two what I call like the simple approach. Some say just, all right, don't have it, and others say just be tovel it. You can adopt either of those if you so desire. But is there anything a little bit more nuanced in the middle that I think most people might be more comfortable with? Okay. So this would now be approach number two. Approach number two is a way to get out of it. I don't mean to like, you know, tricking halacha per se, like within halacha, but is there anything else to be done? So there are two potential routes here. Number one, the Chachmas Adam. The Chachmas Adam says if you disassemble a kli and put it back together, panim chadashos ba'olakan, and now it's as if you, the Jew, or another Jew you know, made the kli, and if a Jew made the kli, so then it doesn't require tevilas kelim, only if you get it from a goy. So if you know how to disassemble your Keurig and then put it back together, gesundtehei. Rav Asher Weiss has an article. He points out those who, a tshuva I should say, who argue on the Chachmas Adam, but he defends it, you know, very strongly. He brings a lot of rise. It's a valid approach, but you have to be able, it's not like, you know, taking out one screw or like removing the part that's meant to be removed anyways. It means disassembling it till the point that like this cannot be used and I need someone who knows what they're doing to put it back together. That I look at that person, oh yeah, that person built the kli, okay? So it's, you know, maybe hard to know exactly to what point, but really disassembling it and putting it back together, if you can do that, good for you. I can't, so that might not be such a practical option, but it would be an option if you know what you're doing. A second, you know, getting out of it, getting around it type of approach, and this came up at the beginning of the pandemic when people couldn't make it to the mikvah. and they're different, but I'll just group them together. The idea of giving your kli to a goy or being mafkir. Let's just say giving it to a goy. If you have a guy, you know, who you work with or works with you, and you can give them as a present and allow them to use, ask them if you could just use it every day, forever in your house. The reason this would work is because if it's not your, if the kli belongs to a guy, so it's not obligated in a tefillah. A guy doesn't have the mitzvah tefillah's kelim, so it's a kosher kli. It's not treif. It's just owned by a guy. So that would be another way to get out of it. Again, the Shulchan Aruch says you could do something like this b'shas adchak. You know, is this a shas adchak? So some say yes. Rav Asher says yeah, it's a shas adchak because there's nothing else you could do if it's going to break. Is a shtickle harama involved, a little trickery involved? Then again, it's only a mitzvah d'rabbanan. I'll just leave this, end this one with a story, humorous story, sort of Aaron Lichtenstein. The story goes that he had one of these electric appliances and he was mafkir. He made a hefker ownerless. And on Purim, one of his students came in and said, oh, Rebbe, that's your hefker kli. And he took it. He's like, it's ownerless. I'm going to take it with me. It's mine. It's not yours. After Purim, he was all embarrassed. So he came back. He tried to return it to Rav Aaron, and Rav Aaron wouldn't accept it. He's like, no, it's hefker. He's like trying to show this wasn't a joke. You know, like, I made it hefker. Okay, it's yours. You go and take it. So that would be two different ways to possibly get around it, either to undo it and put it back together hard, or to like give it to a goy, be mafkir it, as long as it's not a Jew's, it's not obligated in tefillah.